City Limits is a production of WAER Syracuse Public Media and is made possible thanks to generous grant support from the Central New York Community Foundation and the John Ben Snow Memorial Trust, and listeners like you. To support the project, visit the City Limits About page at citylimitsproject.org.
I fit the description, as do many of the people I represent, and that description is Black.
At home and around the country, voices are crying out.
No justice! No justice!
Some are looking for answers.
So I tell you, accountability is necessary.
Others are pleading for change.
I'm not seeing yet a lot of coordination to get the work that needs to be done, done.
It's time to examine the harmful impacts of structural racism on society and shine a light on the social and cultural movements focused on social justice.
I am afraid for Black people. I am afraid for poor people. I am afraid for disabled people. I am afraid for trans people. And the list goes on.
This is City Limits, Winds of Change.
Welcome to City Limits, Winds of Change. I'm Joe Lee. Danielle Ponder has an extraordinary voice.
Did the crime pain more than time? Time and time and time again.
It's soulful, rich, and commanding, and shaped by a long-held passion for music and sobering experiences with racial injustice.
Definitely impacted my work because these stories and these people I have met and everything that they bring with them have turned into songs. And it's also given me a platform to talk about the issues of mass incarceration.
The Rochester native speaks often of her time spent as a public defender and how those years working in a system where African Americans are more likely than whites to be arrested and convicted have shaped her songwriting and her influence on those listening to her performances.
The most beautiful thing is that people will listen to me before they go to a lecture, right? Or folks who are not like, you know, kind of your typical liberal folks who are reading these books and going to a lecture, they might hear things from me because they just love music. So I think I have the ability to speak to an audience that may not normally be concerned with these issues. And I think that's the power that musicians wield.
We had a good phone conversation about her music and her being a finalist on NPR's Tiny Desk Contest. And we'll come back to that in just a moment, because this is more a story about Black equity and excellence in action. In City Limits episode number 46, Racial Justice Means Changing the Process, WAER's Katie Zilkowski reports on how the Central New York Community Foundation worked to change their traditional grant application and award process to fund initiatives designed to empower communities of color. Through their Black Equity and Excellence Fund, the foundation pledged $1 million to help amplify Black voices and build upon organizational capabilities to better serve the Black community. In this episode of City Limits, we'll take a look at how some of those funds are being put to use to achieve the desired impact. So what do we mean by Black equity and excellence in this context?
Accentuating the very best of Black agency, of you know, Black imagination, of Black thought, you know, in a way, trying to highlight the very best in terms of virtues and values of Black peoples and to promote and proliferate those things.
Lavelle Anderson is associate professor in the Department of Philosophy and affiliate faculty in the Department of African American Studies at Syracuse University.
In terms of Black equity, I guess the first thing that comes to mind is really a thought about, you know, the conditions of civic engagement, the sorts of conditions Black people in the Americas find themselves in with respect to an ability to both be seen as a participant in and to regard themselves as participants in this sort of civic project, right, of building a nation, of sustaining a nation, of not only being those who produce the products that Americans come to enjoy and value, but also being able to partake in the fruits of the labor.
He says that it's important for Black Americans to share in the pie and not be disregarded because of their Blackness. I asked him if specific targeting of black issues by good-intentioned organizations somehow feeds the narrative of black victimhood. He says that's a flawed way of looking at it.
I think that this isn't quite the right way, quite the right approach to think about it. This isn't the way to approach it. For reasons that have been sort of detailed, the ways in which race affected which programs were proposed, which programs were sort of issued, right? Depending on, if it were, say, white immigrants coming to the U.S. who were suffering from economic hardships or other things in the community, there were government dollars, government programs generated to help support and help sort of lift those people up out of those conditions. But when it came to black people, what we often found were programs of criminalization and demonization, right? So the same condition, or similar looking conditions with respect to economic hardships, perhaps drug dependencies or whatever, and the treatment was different. The treatment was either positive if we were talking about white groups or negative, we were talking about black groups, right? And so I think part of what we find ourselves with is, you know, a long history of demonizing black people and not offering them aid and help in the ways that's been offered for other people. And so, yeah, targeting, you know, black issues specifically, I think is be the opposite of this sort of pushing people into victimhood kind of status.
So the idea of addressing black equity is investing resources and providing aid where the need was traditionally neglected. However, Professor Anderson says, while organizations like the Community Foundation offer a good start to addressing issues of racial equity, jumpstarting community programs, or providing elevated platforms for black creatives, they cannot replace what is ultimately the critical responsibility of federal and state government agencies. But community leaders like Peter Dunn aren't going to wait for the slow-turning wheels of government bureaucracy. As president and CEO of the Central New York Community Foundation, Dunn, the board of directors, and staff of the foundation saw the death of George Floyd and the protests that followed as cause for reflection.
Our staff and board came together in June and decided that we'd make a significant seven-figure, million-dollar commitment around funding Black-led and Black-governed nonprofit organizations in Syracuse.
The million-dollar commitment is what launched the Black Equity and Excellence Fund. Through this initiative, Dunn says, the foundation hopes to broaden the scope of their grant-making, develop new relationships with Black-led nonprofits, and make grants more accessible by streamlining the application process. But ultimately, the fund is intended to make these nonprofits stronger and more competitive.
Really, it's about capacity building. It's helping the organizations amplify their mission and their impact, and also hopefully increasing the capacity of these organizations, some of which are very nascent, haven't been around very long or very community-based. Others have been with us for decades. But really, it's investing in those organizations.
Was there any heavy lifting that you had to do to get buy-in from your board and from donors? Was there any pushback on this initiative?
I'd have to say that our board and staff went into this really quite enthusiastically, thought it was the right time and place for us to be making these investments and this commitment. It's one thing for us to come out with a public statement talking how much we value racial equity. It's another thing for us to take action and take action on it promptly. So we made the announcement in June, and by September, we had grants out the door.
One of those grants went to radio and podcast producer George Kilpatrick, who hosts the show Inspiration for the Nation.
The project that I applied for was to be able to create podcasts in the community that features community voices that celebrate the positive achievements of African Americans from all walks of life. In particular, highlighting those stories that often go untold, that often go unrecognized, to really provide a platform to showcase these talents in the community.
As an individual applicant, Kilpatrick was required to have a nonprofit fiscal sponsor. By having state-of-the-art podcast production equipment that improves remote production capabilities, he hopes to provide a spotlight on those in our community whose voices are often muted, overshadowed, and unheard.
But it's a way to really extend the reach and have the facilities to do so, especially during this time when, for me, studio access is very limited. And so I've had to create it on my own. And so this project and the funding of this project will give me the opportunity to be less reliant on going into a per se building and be able to create what I need right here on my own.
So obviously through what you're trying to do, you don't feel that it's being done. You don't feel that these kinds of stories are being told in local media. You don't feel that we have access to success stories that we can relate to. Talk about that for a second.
I don't think we have access to them on a consistent basis, or that those stories are often drowned out by other narratives about our community that aren't the stories we want to tell. Look, news is news, and I get that, and that we have to tell the things that are happening. But for as long as I've lived here, and it's been most of my adult life at this point, there's been a certain narrative about certain parts of our town and certain parts of our community that often get negatively portrayed. So there are pockets of stories, Joe, here and there that are getting told. But by and large, I'm hoping that through our efforts, that we will really be able to expand the conversation.
George Kilpatrick, inspiration for the nation, celebrating people we feel good about. Well, 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 well. We've got a good friend of the program, Dr.
Kilpatrick isn't the only creative to have the COVID-19 global pandemic add an extra layer of difficulty to their community service mission.
I believe that this will help us to sustain.
Tanisha Jackson is the executive director for the Community Folk Arts Center, a community-focused arts organization committed to the promotion and development of artists of the African diaspora.
Because when you're operating in a digital space, right, your audience expands beyond the city or the region that you normally reach. And so I have people who have been writing to us from, you know, different cities, different states, just with our marketing campaign, and that's encouraging.
And with doors temporarily closed because of the pandemic, the acquisition of audio-visual equipment for virtual performances and exhibitions was crucial to maintaining service to meet the needs of their constituents and ensure the long-term viability of the organization.
And I knew from the start of planning that I wanted something that would have a program, right, and an event that would have multiple camera angles. So I literally have set up 3 camera angles for this event so that you can kind of get that 360 experience. And it's not like it's different from watching a live stream on Facebook or Instagram. You know, I want people to actually feel like they're in a concert.
And that brings us back to Danielle Ponder, who was the main act for the Community Folk Arts Center's debut in the virtual performance space in November.
Sitting there staring, what you doing with that makeup?
I logged in to watch the performance on my computer. After the Art Center negotiated some technical audio difficulties, the production evened out with HD quality video, multiple camera angles, and creative lighting. And Danielle did what she does best.
If I can do all of those things, make you think, make you feel, and make you dance, I'm happy.
Art needs a canvas, and Danielle needs a stage and an audience, even during a pandemic, for her music and her message. I ask what it's going to take to move her career to the next level.
Oh, Lord. Oh, my God. You know, I've been so wrapped up in work this summer and the Black Lives Matter movement and protests. So part of it is my own focus. I need to really focus. But I also am hoping for a connection with someone who can get me the exposure that I need. And I'm thankful for, you know, I've gotten so much exposure from NPR and the Tiny Desk Contest. I'm hoping to just continue to plug away and hopefully meet that person or have that moment that really, really catapults me.
Perhaps this was that moment. The grant that led to a platform that allowed an artist to connect to an audience and shine. For City Limits, I'm Joe Lee. Oh, you gotta lift yourself
higher. Thanks for listening to City Limits, a production of WAER Syracuse Public Media. Find more from this series at citylimitsproject.org. And subscribe in Apple Podcasts for automatic delivery of new episodes.